Join me tonight, if you would, in the book of Malachi. And we're in chapter 2 tonight. Malachi chapter 2. And I would like to read this entire chapter, the 17 verses, and then spend a little time in the first part of this second chapter of the book of Malachi. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, and because ye do not lay it to heart, because I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant made with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts, my covenant was with him in life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, and he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do you deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of your fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange God. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offered an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet he say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion, and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore hath take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covenant violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgment? This first verse here that we're going to look at particularly tonight, oh, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Every priest in the Old Testament was to be really nothing more than a picture of the great high priest. Even Aaron was really nothing more than a picture of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every other priest, even Aaron himself, could act no higher than he was as a human, and he was only as good a type of Jehovah's high priest. And as I read through here, and there's a lot of language that we're not familiar with today, but as I read through here, these priests in Malachi's day had forgotten that they were pictures. And they were trying to take upon themselves a position. They wanted to be a director. And they weren't even a good director. But they were offering sacrifices that had a great deal of wrong about them. In the book of Hebrews chapter 7, we have some words written with regard to our great high priest, the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 19. And we have some thoughts here with regard to Melchizedek, king of Salem. And as he is I read about Melchizedek and I can see nothing more or nothing less than this is a pre-incarnate picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, the scriptures say, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." So this great high priest that we read about here and many other places, particularly in the book of Hebrews and in the New Testament, we find that this great high priest was the high priest over the church. And all of those priests, even those who were priests over their family, in a sense, Abel was a priest over his family. He was of the tribe of Jacob. He was showing what a priest is. And he was not taking upon himself any glory, but he was depending upon a substitute to take care of him. And he didn't try to promote himself. And we find Abraham and Moses and Noah and these folks down through the ages before the giving of the law, these were really priests over their families. And yet they were pictures, they were types, they were shadows of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus. And as long as they kept that view of it, they were safe. The Apostle Paul took that view about himself. He was a wonderful preacher. Many could say, "That's the man that brought me the gospel." We read about many in the New Testament. But Paul, when he reflected on himself, he said, "I am undone. Wretched man that I am." But he pointed people, just like the priests of the Old Testament, they were to point people to the true high priest by their pictures, their types, and their shadows. They were not to get a following around themselves. Now, it appears at the time of Malachi, there was a bunch of priests that were trying to get a gathering around themselves. And they were much like preachers that we find during the New Testament time. One of those is found over in the book of 3 John. Diotrephes, he tried to get a gathering around himself, just exactly opposite of the person who wrote that book, John. John the Baptist in particular said, "Behold the Lamb of God, go follow him." and they left. So these folks were, a real priest was interested in pointing people to the true high priest, and they were only pictures, they were only types, they were only shadows. Their clothing would wear out, they would wear out, their office would wear out. But the great high priest, his righteousness never wears thin, his time never is out, and his position as a great high priest, he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, these priests, if they had been true priests, would never have gotten a letter or a message or a sermon from Malachi like these opening words. It says, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." And it goes down through here and tells us. Now, it's interesting that these priests were very careful even when performing the sacrifices. There was things that could make them instantly unclean. And one of them is brought out here in this passage of Scripture. He says, "I'm going to put dung on your face." Now, not necessarily God doing that, but as they performed their work, they would have been instantly unclean if they'd have cut one of the parts of that animal that was not supposed to be cut. They would have disqualified themselves immediately from offering that sacrifice. They would be unclean. They would be of necessity, need to be washed. So God says, "You're going to have this all over you because you're really unclean." Now, a true priest would not need these instructions. For we find, turn with me to the book of John chapter 6. John chapter 6. It would be interesting to keep track of how many times the speakers that have been in different services here, our own men and visiting speakers, have gone to John chapter 6 for a verse of Scripture. There's so much here. In John chapter 6 and verse 45, it is written in the prophets. John chapter 6 and verse 45. It is written in the prophets that they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. The Lord Jesus Christ shares with us something that was written in the prophets and is quite evident among all of God's people. And that is, when God regenerates a person, they are taught of God. And they don't need these instructions that if you don't straighten up, I am going to break you. As he's going to share with these priests that are in the days, they hadn't heard anything. The gospel had never meant anything to them. They had never been regenerated. They would not be in this position if they had have been. And God would not have had his minister, his prophet, bringing this message to them if they had had a true change of heart that God had given them. Now, over in the book of Isaiah, keeping that thought that we read here, that in the prophets it's written, they'll be taught of God. He will not have to beat them with the law. They will be taught of God. And he will be gracious to them. And he will open up their hearts to understand the Word, that it's the Word of God. And they'll never be in disagreement about the Word. And they'll never find it offensive. And they will not be offering plagued sacrifices and then pretending it's okay. Well, here in the book of Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, the prophet says there's a day coming. And this day has been since the very beginning because Abel had instructions. He may have had physical instructions from his parents, but the real instructions that he received was from God by faith. And we've heard so often about this. If a person has faith, true faith, that is, they relying completely and entirely upon the blood and righteousness of Christ for their salvation. That was what Abel is telling us. By faith, he offered a more acceptable sacrifice. Well, in verse 3 of chapter 2 of the book of Isaiah, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. Now, the God of Jacob, that really gets us right back to chapter 1 of the book of Malachi. Jacob have I loved. The God of Jacob. He instructs Jacob's, and here we have, and they will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So there is a capacity that in regeneration, God instructs his folks, and he doesn't have to sin, obey the commandment. He instructs us by his grace. And in chapter 54 of the book of Isaiah, these priests that were there, having a great deal of trouble and not performing their duty and offering strange sacrifices, accepting strange sacrifices from the people, those that were blind and halt and maimed, God comes down and says, I have a commandment for you. Well, we hear from the Word of God that God, when he deals with us in his grace, the instruction is from God, and it is life-changing instruction. And it is instruction that will satisfy the heart and instruction that will want to please Almighty God. In Isaiah 54 and verse 13, we read, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. God has some way of teaching his children that we don't have even with our own children. He has the ability of dealing with them spiritually. And they have the indwelling of the Spirit, God's Spirit within us, Christ in us. He's able to teach us and teach us in such a capacity that we're satisfied with what he teaches us. It's not offensive. It's not harsh. It's not any of those things. A number of places are found in the Old Testament that fulfills that verse in John chapter 6. In the prophets it says, they will all be taught of God. What a statement that God would take the time to instruct the church. But he does that through his Spirit. He continues to do that through his Spirit. In the book of 1 Thessalonians is a verse of scripture that I have hanging so I can read it every time I'm sitting in my study. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And there in verse 9. It says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. I find that very interesting. That takes care of almost three quarters of the preaching I ever heard in religion. As touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. What a statement that God teaches everyone in his body to love one another as we love Christ. Now, once in a while, our flesh gets out, but the Spirit of God has taught us to love every believer. Now, there's a word used in that verse in the book of Malachi, chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. It's the great big word called commandment. Oh. Brother Tim James was one of the speakers back at 13th Street this time we were there. And he said he was invited to a friend's church, known for a long time, to speak. And he stepped into the pulpit, and right behind him is the Ten Commandments. And he says, I decided I wasn't going to say anything. But finally, in the message, it was going, the Lord was blessing. He turned around and he says, you ought to write rest in peace on the Ten Commandments because they're done away with in Christ. He satisfied them all. They're not a guide for us. Christ is our guide. Well, he said, I may never be asked to go back, but rest in peace. Well, right here in this passage of Scripture, in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, this commandment is for you. You know, commandments are really for lost folks. Because they have to be herded. They cannot be led. There is a verse, the first time, I am intrigued most of the time when I'm studying, and I find a word, I want to go back and find out, where is that word used other places? I want to go back and find out where it's used the first time. Let me go find it. And it's so easy anymore. You don't have to have a degree in Hebrew or Greek. All you need is a pad and a download of some Bible program that uses Strong's. And you click on it, and then you look up that number, and it lists all of those places that word is used. Well, I was just absolutely astonished. I don't think I'd ever read this verse of Scripture before. And I know I have because I've read the book of Genesis. So would you turn with me back to the book of Genesis chapter 26? Genesis chapter 26. There is much said in the book of Genesis about our brother Abraham. There's so much written about him here, and so much is pulled forward into the New Testament by the writers of the New Testament, by the Apostle Paul. So much written about Abraham as an example of those who have faith in Christ and that they are clean and pure before him, even they, though they would be the first to say, O wretched man that I am, positionally, we find, as all the saints, there's not going to be one charge held against us. Here in the book of Genesis, chapter 26, and in verse 1, it says, and there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine, which was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, that in all thy seed all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now notice verse 5 with me. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Can you imagine? I ran into a guy here that kept all of God's word. And God said it happened. Abraham, what did it say? Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes and my laws. And that word commandments here is the same word we find over in Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. Keep my commandments. Over here we find run into a guy who says, God said he kept all my commandments. More than that, he kept all my charge, my statutes, and my laws, and obeyed my voice. I says, that's the guy I want to be with. I want to be positionally the same as Abraham, because God looked at him in complete righteousness. Now we can read about his human flaws. He had several human flaws. But we get under the blood of the New Testament, there's not one word ever written about that. By faith, Abraham sojourned. And we find this verse of Scripture was his word, his verse, that in some capacity, and we know how that happens, that the Lord Jesus Christ imputed his righteousness so completely that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit could write about him and say he kept it all. He didn't disobey one word. And I said, wow. Now, that happens in the New Testament, too. Let's first of all go to someone like these priests that say they have. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Excuse me, verse 20. This young man came to him, it says there in verse 16, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And this, like so many other places, we have people saying, "What must I do? What must I do?" You know, for years, the Philippian jailer was given a positive note because that's what he asked. "What must I do?" And then, "Go from here and we can get you on your knees." That's not the message there. Paul goes on to preach Christ. It's not what you do, it's what he's done for you. All right, what must I do? And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Told those priests in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 1, this commandment. And then we read about Abraham, says he kept them all. Well, let's follow this. "And he saith unto him, Which?" Well, we got a problem right now. Jesus said, "Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" All these things. Now, that's the natural response from a human being. Number one, I've got a lot of them down. What do I lack? So he lists, enumerates these, and I kept all those. All of those. And then the Lord said something that he didn't want to hear. "Sell all you have and give to the poor." Because he was rich. Well, we notice there in verse 20, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." I kept. Now turn back with me again to the book of John, only this time to John 17. I don't know how many times in the last couple of years we've had reference in Bible classes, camp messages, or the services here that we've been dealing with John 17. It's a good place to be. But notice here in John 17, that young man over there in the book of Matthew said, "These have I kept." Now, in John chapter 17 and verse 6, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me." Now notice these words. "And they have kept thy word." Oh my goodness. Peter, yeah. Thomas. And Peter. And James. And John. and all the disciples that the Lord had given him, except the son of perdition, which he knew from the very beginning, had kept the word of God. Now, how can we do that? There is only one way, and that's the same way that Abraham, it's written about him, that he kept all the word and all the statutes and all the commandments and all the laws of God. Someone did it for us, imputed it to us, gave us the gift of it, and said, you are just as if you had never been in Adam. Now, the folks there in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 1, they are not Jacob's, as we see them yet. We don't know what's going to happen in their life. But God said, I have a commandment for you. And he goes down through there, you know, you're going to be dressing out an animal, and I'm going to find you so unclean, you're going to have to go bathe. You can't go any further. You're going to cut into a place in one of those animals, and you're going to be covered with stuff you don't want to be covered with. You're going to be so unclean. There's nothing like being unclean and then being made clean and have it written about you. Abraham, after he's dead, buried, God would write to his own son, Isaac, and say, Abraham did everything. The disciples did everything. And those who say, I've done everything, what else do I need to do? They don't have a clue. But those who say, oh, wretched man that I am, I trust him for everything. I just find that a very comforting position to be in, that God's people would be comforted so much that he paid for them double for all their sin, and that God could write about them and say, I find no fault in them. Well, we're going to go on here in the book of Malachi in our study, not anymore tonight, but go on, and we'll find out what his prophet and what his true priest, the representative, is going to say to these priests who pretended that they had something and did not. And we noticed going through there, most of it's not good. There's only solace, only hope, only peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him, we're just as clean as he is.